good. They are not evil. They are people. And that is why wisdom in settling quarrels is always a matter of compromise. That's why a good Confucian always settles disputes out of court. Because somebody eventually says, oh, come off it. Look, we are both rascals, and there let be honor among thieves. And that's the spirit, you know, that's the real spirit of repentance. Not that you say some idiot notion that you're going to turn over a new leaf and kid yourself into the idea that you'll never do a thing like that again. You know very well you will. True repentance is to admit in all humility, you see, that you are not a saint. And therefore, you better not go fooling people that you are, because they will rely on you and then be disappointed. So then, this is basic trust in yourself, not as a integrated, mature person, not as a responsible citizen, but as a human being, with your light side and with your dark side, with your outgoing affection as well as your ingoing self-affection. Both must be there. Now, you see then, because of this, as I said, there will always be the risk that although you gamble, you may not always win. In fact, you may lose your shirt. But that's the risk one takes. Life is taking the risk of death. And if you don't take it, you don't go anywhere. You don't even step into your car. So that although there will be mistakes, although you may lose your shirt, the alternative to making this gamble is total loss of freedom. I would say total gravity, total seriousness, no game. That's why all kind of extra square, I would say cubic personalities, are very, very serious. You know, policemen and soldiers and people like that are always very gruff. Because that role is expected of them. But when you carry seriousness to its full extent, you've got a cosmic jail. And who is prisoner? Who is warder? Same fellow. But he doesn't know it. He won't gamble. And so the ultimate, you see, the ultimate prisoner is the guard. Think of 1984. Think of the super big brother sitting in his inner sanctum. All the security systems outside, all little television things to inspect what people are doing. Checks on checks. Who's the prisoner? See, the spider's caught in its own web. He can't goof off. He can't even sleep. Because somebody might creep in. He can't trust the most trusted guard. Always might be poisoned. And in, of course, this great electronic age, when every kind of deviltry and snoopery becomes more and more subtle, just think of the possibilities of being the man who controls it all. Now, this also implies that in behaving with each other, in making the gamble, in playing the game of existence, there must also be rules. There is both order and randomness. But you see, the difficulty is that our attitude to the rules of behavior is rather curious. We tend always to derive our game rules from the past. We tend to be uninventive and uncreative in thinking about the rules of the human game and refer back, say, to such an ancient Bronze Age document as the Ten Commandments. Now, here was a set of game rules for a certain kind of society, but there's somehow the idea, you see, that this set of rules is sacrosanct, or whatever other set of rules, it might be the laws of Manu or something in India, but always the idea that there is a right way to live which is somehow laid down like tram lines. There was a young man who said, "Damn, for it certainly seems that I am a creature that moves in determinate grooves. I'm not even a bus, I'm a tram." And you see, we have this idea also about the laws of nature. Although this is not the current, I would say, view of a physicist about the laws of nature, it is traditional in our culture to think of certain rules that have been laid down in advance, which the universe obeys. We talk about obeying natural law. And so human law is very often thought of on the same model, or vice versa, the law of nature on the model of human laws, that there is an authoritative lawgiver who is grandpa and who says, "This is the way it's going to be around here, and you had better follow." Now actually, it doesn't seem that nature obeys laws, but rather that when we watch nature behave and study the regularities in its behavior and write those regularities down and make notes of them, we find that those regularities can be gambled on. They're liable to go on again. And it's only a kind of figure of speech that one talks, therefore, about the world itself obeying laws. The laws of nature, I mean, it's like saying because you've devised a clock and it goes tick-tick regularly, you suddenly are astounded to find that the earth in its rotations is obeying the clock. See, it's actually the clock which is the law thing, is obeying the world, if anything. But this is the law. It's why we alter our clocks for summertime. Instead of being sensible and getting up an hour earlier, we have to alter the law so that we have authority for getting up earlier. But you see, the rules of human behavior, they're highly necessary because we've got to agree about how we're going to communicate with each other and deal with each other for exactly the same reason that we have to agree about the rules of language. Otherwise, we just don't understand each other. But do you suppose that the rules of language are fixed and unalterable? We are changing them all the time. We're constantly inventing new words, new forms of expression, getting rid of old ones. We are very creative, especially in this country. People are amazingly creative with language. Where I come from in England, they're not so creative because they're more traditional, more conservative. But here is a wonderfully creative language. And so what happens is that the linguists and the people who make dictionaries, they observe how the people are in fact talking. And then they chronicle all that, so that everybody is informed through the dictionaries of what rules are being used. Now, the same sort of thing must go with morals. Actually, human beings are always changing morals. But there's a terrific fight constantly goes on between the people who say, "Well, look, let's try it another way." And the people who say, no, you can't get away with that. It's against the will of God or something.